Okay, why don't we get started here with a few selected scriptures before the bell rings. We've got a few minutes. Make sure you have your Bibles ready and open to Ephesians. We'll be exploring a few verses there. Okay, also in Genesis and Exodus and also in the Gospel of John. Why don't we read something also now in the book of Isaiah, declaring the end from the beginning. Now he's talking about the history of God. Isaiah is talking about God's history here. Declaring the end from the beginning. Of course, we talked about that, that everything that's unfolding within this dimension at this period of time, okay, is nothing more than reruns. It's like going to a movie, okay, and once you go to a movie, you know what the end of the movie is going to be. Okay, so it's called reruns. So what we're doing right now is we're living in the reruns. Okay, everything which God has predetermined before the foundation of the world, before the world was even created in this dimension. Everything was prepared and foreseen, okay, for the exact results which our Father was looking for. So he says here, declaring the end from the beginning. This is Isaiah 46, if you want to make a note on this. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Seeing my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Okay, and that's the same thing it says in the book of Revelation. All things were created by him and for him, for his pleasure. Isaiah 46:10, if you want to make a note on that. Okay, here's one about the children of the ninth week. Okay, that's during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, which follows a seven-year tribulation. This is a ninth week, ninth Enochian week. And it's written here, Isaiah. Okay, also pins some things in regarding this. Isaiah 49:21-23. And he says here, then shall you say in your heart, who has begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? And he says here, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring your sons in their arms, okay, and your daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Kings shall be your nursing fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. Okay, so we see that these are things that be unfolding during the ninth week, during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, those which have died in innocence, okay, will have, by this time, okay, matured, okay, and came into this dimension. This is what he's talking about. Okay, because every soul has to be tested. Okay, and these who died in their innocence have yet to be tested concerning their choices. And these choices will be presented to them at the conclusion, okay, of the millennial reign of Christ. After Satan has been released out of prison for a short period. All right, Isaiah 50. It just has to do with the heavens of blackness. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I will make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakes morning by morning. He wakes my ear to hear as the learned. This is how God inscribes within you, okay, this knowledge. That's what the anointing does, and inscribes it within you. So they shall not teach every man his brother and every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from least to the greatest. Okay, as the Apostle Paul also writes about that in Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8. Here he talks about the smiters, Isaiah 50:6-7. I guess we better hurry up here. He says, I'll give my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The Lord will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Of course, ashamed has to do with that, which is our expectation will not fall short of that, okay, of what the Lord has revealed. And we can see this today. How the Lord continually affirms to us by the anointing, okay, this plan. Okay, and we're going to get started. I'm going to pick up here in Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 7 here, okay, with the Apostle Paul. And he brings the attention of the saints there, the believers there in Ephesus, okay, those under his stewardship. Okay, these letters were not written randomly to a general or common public a group of people. It was written to those, okay, specifically in covenant with God. What we see today is that people, okay, outside of covenant okay, are selecting these scriptures to make application to themselves, but apart from the covenant. Okay, and that's the discrepancy and the deception. They think just by reading these scriptures that there's an automatic application for their approval of God, but it doesn't happen that way. The approval of God comes through that, okay, which God has sanctified, and we'll be reading more about that, okay, in a moment. So let's start around verse 7 here. It says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Now, we talked about that last week, okay, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And we see Paul begins his epistle specifying this act of work, this mysterious, deep, and eternal act of work, okay, within the heart. Okay, and this is how we're sanctified. We're sanctified by the truth and by the Spirit, okay, by the anointing which he has provided for us, and on this foundation of knowledge, okay, by which we're building. Okay, we have to have the blueprint to build. We have to know exactly what to build. Okay, that those things which we're laboring with, okay, isn't just a pile of bricks and boards and nails and hammers dumped on your front lawn to construct a house. Okay, everything, okay, follows a particular procedure of preparation, and those which have the skills to put these things together. The homeowner necessarily doesn't have to have all those skills. He just moves in. Okay, but those which have these specific skills, okay, meet the standards of the state, okay, or the county, okay, or the province. They meet the certain standards there, okay, in regarding this construction. Okay, and it has to be the exact location. It has to meet these specifications, okay, in order for it to be a habitation. So wherefore I was made a minister. Here back to verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God. Apostle Paul is identifying his stewardship as that preparatory stage and preparing an environment for your habitation and fellowship. Okay, this is what we see also in the Garden of Eden. God planted a garden east in Eden, and he brought the man there. After the environment was prepared, there he sent the vessel, okay, to inhabit it. Okay, same thing. God prepared a body for your soul. Okay, your body was prepared by your parents, okay, in the womb of your mother, okay, and then God sent the soul to inhabit that vessel in order for that vessel to fulfill, okay, the things which God has assigned for it for the internal inheritance. One possesses a record of man, the other possesses the record of God. Okay, that which is born of the flesh possesses the record of this world, the record of man. Okay, in other words, it was assigned certain strengths, certain talents, certain gifts, okay, designed within it, okay, in order to fulfill that particular desire, okay, in order to contribute to society. Okay, that's why everybody, all creatures that are born of the flesh, okay, don't follow the exact same pattern. Okay, not everybody is a pilot. Not everybody is has a naval career. Not everybody is a police officer. Not everybody is a mail courier. Okay, not everybody is a cook in a kitchen. Okay, so we can see if everybody was that, then there would be economic catastrophe, because who would be the farmer, okay, in order to farm the land? So that's an assigned gift, okay, given to the individual, and that's the record of man. It was given to the flesh, not for righteousness, but for social equity, so that the economy could function, and that people would be born, and that the population would increase, and that cities would overspread the world, so that God's plan would be fulfilled. And that's why Adamites don't have the power in their own hand to determine their own destiny. They cannot determine their own destiny. Okay, that is a frustration factor which God has set, okay, as a restriction upon the imagination. When we imagine things, the outcome, we imagine a certain outcome, isn't necessarily going to be exactly that way. Because the variables that are introduced by that which is the invisible world. Okay, how angels are involved. Angels are involved in decisions of government. Angels are involved concerning the victories of the battlefield. Okay, angels are involved also in the advancements of technology. Okay, we can see that in the beginning, okay, that the angels were the ones that brought to Adam the necessary skills, Okay, Adam, once he was expelled from the garden, he had no survival skills. Everything within the environment of the garden was provided for him. So God prepared an environment. He brought in the man. Okay, and the body which Adam was in, was sufficient, for the purpose of his exploration and existence within the garden. Okay, everything was there that was necessary for him. God the Father, our Lord would visit him to provide that which is the fellowship. Okay, to provide the fellowship for the God code. Okay, the God code of Adam, wasn't going to be, increased, just by the consumption of things in the garden, which of course his body did not need consumption. He was living in the eternal light. And when you're in the eternal light, the physical body has no need of consumption. Okay, so, but everything that was provided for Adam in the garden was for his pleasure. Okay, and everything in the garden bore a letter of the name of God. It bore a letter of his name. So God, by each letter of his name, also exhibited a parable and a mystery of himself. From the design of the tree to the flower to everything that was within that garden. Okay, it bore a parable of the letter of our Father, of the Lord. All right? So here the Apostle Paul, is giving those which are at Ephesus an understanding in regarding the environment, that we're building the house of God by the Spirit, which he also brings out, in regarding this house. All right? So wherefore I was made a minister, back here in Ephesians 3:7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift and grace of God. So you talk about the grace of God is concerning that anointing, which is engrafted within us, is for the purpose of expanding and enlarging the heart, with this knowledge. That's what grace does. Okay, it gives substance to the heart. The gift of God gives substance to the heart. Okay, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God provides us these gifts for the increase and the enlargement of the heart, for the fruit bearing, for his kingdom, that we would be received back to the Father's bosom with increase, as Jesus also bore out in his parables. So I was made a minister, as a groundskeeper or a gardener, a farmer. I was preparing these things, with preparing your hearts with this knowledge. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. As the Ark of the Covenant, we'll be talking more about that. And the Ark of the Covenant bore the necessary tokens which represented this mystery. It was concealed, but it was revealed by knowledge. It was concealed in the ark. You're not allowed to look into the ark, peek into the ark. But it was concealed in the ark, as also the mystery of God, government, truth, and spirit, is concealed from the carnal eye, but is revealed by the Spirit. It's revealed by knowledge. Only those which have the knowledge of God understand the tokens and the token value of them. The value of them, which has to do with also how they're manifested, their place value, the effect of them. That's what he brings out, the effectual working. So wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. That this mystery would be disclosed through stewardship. And being disclosed through stewardship, this would be the yoke for your priesthood. The yoke of your priesthood is within these concealed things. The ark, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings, the graces of God. The substance of the things hoped for. The tokens which he's provided for us in order to bring us to that desired goal. Which is, of course, the Father's bosom. Say, wherefore I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working, highlight the word effectual working there, the effectual working of his power. That's, of course, has to do with the power of God, that anointing that's present to sanctify your faith. So Paul's saying this was given to me as a sign for you, and not because I'm a Jew, what Paul's saying, it wasn't because I was a Jew, nor because I was a Pharisee. It was a sign to me, according to God's desire. And this is what we see in chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gifts of Christ, is to function in and to serve his kingdom, and to bond, to grow, and to mature in. And he says here, who unto me who am less than least of all saints. He says, but the anointing, it's by this anointing that gives the soul any value. Without the anointing, the soul possesses no value. The soul of a man is not even above that which is of the beast, the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom follows through with its own record. Okay, the animal kingdom. Okay, because they bear no conscience. Okay, in regarding their creation or passage of time. But the only thing they bear is what God set within the design of their record, the record and signature of their soul. Okay, that which is within them is that which they live out. Okay, as the signature of a bird. Okay, as a signature of a cow, or signature of a horse. Okay, or signature of the fish of the sea, whatever it is. They live out that signature. Okay, that which God has assigned for them. Okay, but those which bear this anointing, we live our life by the power of God. That makes the distinction, as it was with Adam before he fell. There is a distinction between Adam and the beasts of the field. The beasts of the field were brought to Adam for subjection. Okay, they were brought to Adam for subjection, that they would honor this person, this entity. They would honor the entity here. And neither not to annoy him. And we can see the animal kingdom today bears the stigma within them to avoid Adamites. As the beasts of the field, they avoid Adamites. Okay, that's why they're called wild beasts. They're called wild because they want to avoid man. See, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working. So we talked about the word effectual working. Okay, again, which has to do with the empowerment. The empowerment for that desired goal. Okay, the effectual working. Okay, a corpse has no effectual working. Okay, a corpse. It now goes, okay, it recedes now back into the dust. Okay, the effectual working is that which is in the living, not the dead. Okay, and we bear the anointing, which means we are the living ones. Walking, those which walk uprightly are the living ones. Okay, but those which walk in darkness, okay, are dead to God. Okay, they're dead to God. Okay, so there's no effectual working in them. Okay, the soul remains void of increase. And as if the soul remains void of increase, it transgresses against God. Okay, it's a transgression and it's offense. A farmer, when he plants a seed, awaits with expectation for a harvest. And God, who plants the seed of life, awaits the manifestation of his harvest. For us to be received back to him again, okay, but with increase. Okay, the farmer doesn't plant a seed to await 3 to 6 months to go out and unearth it again and honor the seed, okay, that it retained, okay, its first integrity without increase. He doesn't honor that. It's a transgression. The seed, okay, bears a power for the purpose of expanding itself beyond its present restrictions. Okay, from a seed or an acorn into a tree. Okay, so what our Father implants within us, which is life-giving to the soul, okay, because it purges the conscience by faith, is set within us for the increase of his kingdom. Okay, and not to remain, okay, in a state of death. Okay, but rather to obtain those things which was put within it, which was designed by our Father and put within it before the world began. So he talks about the effectual working, expanding beyond its present restrictions. And only the Holy Ghost can expand the soul beyond its present restrictions. Effectual working of his power. Okay, so we're going to jump over here for a moment. And we're going to look at some of these things here, okay, in the book of Genesis. So let's go to the book of Genesis here. Turn your Bibles over there. Make sure you put your marker here in Ephesus. The book of Ephesians, because we'll be coming back there. But we're gonna see things about this mystery in Genesis chapter 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now Adam was put into the garden, but not to take ownership or to sell it as real estate, okay, which we can see there in Luke 20. Okay, he not to take ownership of it, nor to sell it as some real estate. Okay, but God put a parable in this now for us to read. Okay, and to see how he also will give us our own garden in a tenth week, which is our own dimension. Okay, the garden was Adam's dimension. Okay, it was assigned to him. It was not assigned to anyone else but to Adam. It was given for the purpose of God's pleasure. But God, our Father, had a plan in order to extend beyond this, okay, and provide another power, okay, which gives us options. God creates good and he creates evil. So God created an opponent. Okay, God created a contradiction which would exist outside the light. So God, the Lord God, took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And then we can go over to verse 10 here, chapter 1, verse 10. All right, well, I'll start with verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Because at this point, the waves solidified into stones and mountains were formed, and from them also came earth. Now God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters, thus into that depression, God called seas. And God saw that it was good, good for him to go to the next step. And then there he's putting life, vegetation, and sea life. And God said this, that the rock, the solid rock, became soil. So let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself, that's the power, upon the earth, and it was so. For God was writing his gospel now in creation. Now let's jump over here to verse 19. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. So we see that God created the oceans before he put the fish in. God didn't create the whales and the fish before he made the oceans. Okay, the fish would be flipping around on dry land for 24 hours. Okay, it would be flipping around there until God created the seas. Okay, so God created the oceans, then he put the fish in it. So let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created the great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly, okay, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good, and God blessed them. You can see how God prepared the environment to bring the soul into it, okay, for the purpose of what? Multiplication. Okay, it wasn't to remain at a state of stalemate. It wasn't just put there like a wall ornament. It was just beyond the wall to look at. God put these creatures there for the purpose of increase. And that's what he did with us. He put us into an environment of a kingdom for increase, okay, not to become stale, okay, or as seed fallen by the wayside. So God created the great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, which means God assigned a power to them. God blessed them. See, so the word blessing has more than, see, just a certain acknowledgement. Okay, when somebody says, the Lord bless you, that it is an acknowledgement, but it goes beyond that acknowledgement. There's a power with that knowledge. Like the word grace. We know that the word grace means more than just a moment of silence praying over your food, which of course has no effect to the food anyway. But the word blessed here, okay, has a power assigned to it for increase. So blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, which means he assigned him, Jesus Christ, a power, okay, for the purpose of providing us a record. And when did that happen? When he was baptized of John and Jordan. When he's baptized of John and Jordan, the Holy Ghost came upon him. That was that power. God blessed the Lord Jesus. The anointing now assisted him in order to provide a pattern for our faith. Okay, a new record for our own soul. For what? Be fruitful and to multiply. So God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. This power will follow this pattern. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth, to birth and to consume, to birth and to consume. And the evening and morning were the fifth day. Okay, so we're going to jump from there now, and we'll go to Exodus to see how God again, okay, repeated this. Now we see the repetition of this throughout all the scriptures. Right, so we're in Exodus here, Exodus chapter 3. Okay, verses 8, we'll start there. When the Lord is giving instruction to Moses. Again, the stewardship was going to be providing an environment for the faith of the people. Jesus provided a learning environment for his apostles. Okay, God providing an environment for the increase, multiplication, and blessing of his creatures. You see the same thing today. God has provided an environment for the increase of your soul, that your soul now can increase in value for reward. Okay, so therefore, you are now preparing your treasures in heaven. So here, everybody should be there now. We're in chapter 3, verse 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian. Okay, you can highlight or circle the word out, because this is the same thing as the Lord said to Adam, okay, as concerning that a man should be joined to his wife. He shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. You're going to leave one kingdom and house to start your own. And this is what he's saying here. Okay, you are under the oversight of Egyptians. So I'm going to bring you out of that house of Pharaoh and bring you into another house of faith. But I'm going to do this through stewardship. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of land unto a good land. See, from one point to another point. Okay, this completes the cycle which he promised to Abraham. Okay, this is the first promise. This is the promise, okay, of that which is of the sand. He has yet the promise as concerning the stars of heaven, which includes us, the Gentiles, the Jews and Gentiles. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land, there's the word out again, unto a good land and to a large, a kingdom that expands. Now they were given a restrictive portion in Egypt and the land of Goshen. It was restricted land. Okay, and there they increased from 70 to close to 500,000, over 500,000 people. Okay, that was within a time frame of 200 years. That's pretty incredible. Now you can imagine how it would be if it was 1,000 years. Now this is going to take place during the millennial reign. 1,000 years. In 7,000 years, we have about 7 to 8 billion people. From two people, Adam and Eve. Now you can imagine how it would be in 1,000 years, okay, from millions of people, okay, coming back into this dimension. 1,000 years. Okay, so you can see that how that multiplication process, okay, would multiply into 1 trillion. Okay, which means our Lord will show us how the earth can expand by the power. The earth can expand, okay, or it can, okay, decrease its size. We can see that the earth decreased its size under the weight of the mud during the deluge of Noah's time. During the deluge called Noah's flood, the earth shrank under the weight of the water. So that when Noah came out of the ark, the earth in its dimensions there, okay, were smaller than it was at its first creation. Okay, but that's all going to change when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, the earth that God is going to create after this one, okay, is going to ever, forever expand from its present point as a seed into a tree. But here he says, come out and come in. Okay, we come out of darkness into the glorious light of Christ, don't we? Okay, but here we see that there's a preparation. Bring them out unto a land, into a good land. Now notice how he's describing this land. A land that's large, a good land, and a large. Okay, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. In other words, the sinners are going to lose their land and their labors, their houses, their farms, their temples, and their trade routes will be given to a new people. The same thing is going to happen again. God is going to take the earth away from Satan and from his children who polluted it. They destroyed it. Everything is in this dimension centers upon death. It centers upon war. It centers upon loss. It centers upon crime. Okay, everything centers, okay, upon man's demise. Okay, but during the millennial reign, Everything's going to center upon life and peace and increase, okay, for that thousand of years. In that period of time, we will learn war no more. We will turn our the materials of war, okay, into materials for increase, until instead of melting ores down, copper and lead into bullets, okay, and iron into tanks, we'd be molding these things down into plowshares, okay, and building materials, okay, for the purpose of the expanding, okay, of the regions which God will assign for us. Okay, so here he's going to displace these people. He's going to make their habitations desolate, which will now be inhabited by the righteous. The desolate places will be inhabited by the righteous. The assigned dimensions, okay, for all Adamites must be filled. Every cavern, okay, of the chambers of the heart of our Father must be filled, and for the purpose of increase. This is for our Father's peace. Our Father will have peace upon the completion, okay, of his plan. That's why he's expressing wrath throughout the earth, okay, for these 7,000 years. He's expressing his wrath, okay, because the void, okay, of the Father's chambers need to be filled, okay, and the sinners refuse to fill them. So the wrath of God is being expressed, and not his mercy. His mercy is only expressed to the vessels of mercy, okay, which the righteous are. We are the vessels of mercy. Okay, so we increase by his mercy, the tokens and gifts which he richly provides for us, okay, for the purpose of this plan, the planting of the Lord, which we are the planting of the Lord. But the habitations of the wicked remain desolate, okay, and this provokes the Lord to anger. And of course, when Lord has no peace, he expresses his anger. These people are provoking the Lord to anger, okay, with their indiscretions, okay, with their choices, okay, that they choose their derision, they choose their aspiration, okay, over faith. Okay, that's an insult to our Father, okay, which of course we see he greatly expresses. All right, so I'm come to deliver you out of this kingdom and bring you into another kingdom prepared for you. Houses that you not build, farms that are planted and full of seed, and harvests, because they came over during the harvest time, didn't they? Fields full of corn, full of wheat, okay, gardens, okay, full of grapes, okay, olives and apples. Okay, I'm gonna bring you into this land, okay, prepared for you. Okay, so God, the Lord, okay, used the contradiction for the blessing. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Jesus suffered contradiction for the blessing. He rose from the dead, okay, in order to oversee this work, suffering unto glory, because we see the children of Israel also suffer for the glory. All right, so here he's going to bring them into a land with milk that flows with milk and honey. Okay, he's going to bring them into a land called with liquid boundaries. And we can see this when the Lord provides for them, okay, the positions of their lot. Okay, the lot of each tribe, okay, had liquid boundaries to it. It had liquid boundaries to it. From the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates, bordered by what? Okay, the Mediterranean on one side and the Jordan River and the Dead Sea on the other side. Okay, liquid borders, okay, which shows that they can expand. Okay, rivers can be turned. Okay, oceans can be receded. The ocean can recede. As the ocean recedes, we build on its beaches. Okay, as it recedes. Now, okay, now let's jump over here, okay, to another example in John chapter 14. And we'll start here, where Jesus says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled." Okay, everybody should be there now. John chapter 14, verse 1. Okay, we're very much familiar with these verses right here, okay, in regarding, okay, this habitation. Okay, and who is speaking here? Okay, the chief steward, okay, our Lord, okay, the mediator of this covenant. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me." So Jesus is already talking about a transition, okay, from the week, the fifth week of David, in the first eighth week, okay, of the church. A transition is now unfolding, and it's unfolding through stewardship as the unfolding of the third week to the fourth week under Moses. Okay, it went from the week of the patriarchs, ending with Joseph. It took a transfer from Joseph's, from the tribe of Joseph to the tribe of Levi under Moses. Okay, and so it says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be disturbed by this transition. Okay, the church transitioned from the sixth week, okay, of traditions of man into the second, eighth week, the traditions of God. Okay, let not your heart be troubled. Okay, you're leaving behind the traditions of flesh to embrace now the traditions of the spirit. Okay, we can see that Jesus was introducing a new tradition, new commandments of a new and different and invisible kingdom, and a kingdom not set about with borders, okay, of water, okay, but rather the extended borders, okay, of a covenant that would expand not in the flesh but in the spirit, okay, not outside the body but in the body. Let not your heart be troubled in this transition. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in this transition. And we know the word believe means to acknowledge, mold, and submit to. So they had to have wisdom in order for the transition to take place. They had to know what direction to take. We see in the false religious system, they say they believe in God, but yet they're not following him. They lack wisdom. They lack direction, don't they? They don't know which way to go. And so Jesus is telling them, I'm telling you what way to go. I am that way. And we can see he's going to bring this out in verse 6. In my Father's house are many mansions. Their habitations and chambers. In my Father's house or soul are many mansions, chambers, and habitations. Every one of those chambers must be filled. Okay, now the sinners will leave their habitation desolate. It won't be inhabited. So who's going to get it? Those which sow the most. Okay, those which receive a talent, Lord, I have gained five more, and the Lord gave them more rewards for that. So he says, the people that increase are blessed of the Lord. Blessed are you. That's what he said. Okay, blessed are you. So we what God has put within you for the purpose of completion, your lot, okay, will be blessed with the increase, okay, of the desolations. Okay, that he's going to give you, okay, not just one house, one chamber, but a greater real estate than what you were previously assigned, because your neighbor did not want to build. He didn't want to build the kingdom of God. So in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. Okay, in other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not drawing upon your lust to believe this. Okay, the promises of God are not for the purpose of drawing upon your lust, okay, as the false religious system does. The false religious system there, it draws upon the imaginations of your lust for the purpose of the inheritance. But it's not so in God's kingdom. And this is what he says right here, or what he's bringing out right here. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, a house or an orb, a dimension. If I go and prepare a place for you, see the word prepare a place. Okay, as Adam, I prepared a garden for Adam and brought the man to garden. Okay, I prepared the oceans for the fish and I put the fish within the ocean. In other words, I put water in a bowl, then I put the goldfish in the bowl. Okay, I didn't put the goldfish in an empty bowl and then put tap water into it. So he says, I prepared the environment. I'm going to bring you into that environment. I prepared an environment within my Father's bosom for you. And this is what we saw before we came down here. Okay, all of us can bear witness to that experience, okay, of the glitter or the grace. The glitter wasn't to be despised, but the grace was to be embraced, and the glitter had its proper, this was the reward of the embracing the grace, not the other way around. The sinners turn it around. The sinners want the blessing before the testing. The trophy is given after the race, not before the race. Okay, I go prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you into myself. That is the way saying, I'll receive you in myself, in my Father's bosom, that where I am, which is in a house of God, the bosom of the Father, there you may be also. That's why Jesus called himself the door. I am that vortex. My conscience is the vortex, okay, of my Father's bosom. Okay, where I go, you know, and the way you go, and the way you know. Okay, so where I go, you know, and the way you know, which Jesus was expressing his presence right there, the sea of glass of the crystal sea. Okay, the throne. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas, he was looking at the physical here, and he said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? As concerning, are you talking about your presence here in this dimension? But Jesus then said to him, he says, I am the way. Okay, the stewardship is the guide, okay, and these are the materials in order for you to be empowered to enter into this. So Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life, the stewardship, the government. Okay, this will provide the prophetic path, which the holy knowledge will confirm. And I'm going to empower this. This is your life. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means this way, which I am, is power. I'm the door. Hey, I'm the door. The stewardship is the door into the garden, into the inheritance. So by the way of the covenant, by the way of covenant stewardship, you shall enter this blessing. Okay, this is what Paul's bringing out here. Now we're going to jump back over to Ephesians. Okay, then we're going to jump over here also to see what happens when people transgress that. Back to Ephesians here. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given. So you see the word grace again. If grace isn't properly defined, it will be put into the neutral. Okay, the neutral, which means it's non-productive, it's going nowhere. Okay, but grace is a positive power. Okay, that's the anointing. This anointing being a positive power, okay, exacts, it's an energy. In other ways, I'm not saying that that's what it is. It's not an unintelligent energy. Okay, it's not like electrical volt that you have when you plug something into your outlet. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given. Okay, the anointing, he says here, it gives the soul the true value. Okay, not where the flesh is honored for man's wisdom. But grace is received, and it's by this power that we preach, and it's by this power that we also guide your understanding, even among the Gentiles, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Okay, that nothing reflects the flesh of my heritage, not the race, not the culture, not the tradition, but unto the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, the things which truly profit the soul, the unsearchable riches, okay, the knowledge which is beyond the veil. Okay, the carnal mind cannot intrude into it, okay, without a very negative response from God. Okay, now we're going to see this in 1 Samuel. So put your marker here, okay, in Ephesians, and let's jump to 1 Samuel for a moment, chapter 6, verse 19. Let's see what happens when people intrude, okay, into these mysteries without due process. That is, they weren't prepared nor sanctified in order to understand the value of what's in this mystery. Well, let's read about this. Okay, we're going to see two interesting words right here, the word Abel and the word Joshua. Okay, the word Abel and the word Joshua. Okay, verse 18. Let's start about midway here. Okay, the fences of the country villages, even the great stone of Abel, so hide the word Abel there in verse 18. Abel has to do with a point of beginning. Okay, like a point of beginning, Abel the righteous. Okay, point of beginning, righteousness with Abel. Remember, Abel was killed by Cain, and this is the great stone of Abel, which is a marking a new beginning. Okay, whereon they set the ark of the Lord down. They set down the ark of the Lord, okay, which is another beginning. Okay, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua? Not Joshua, son of Nun, okay, or Joshua, son of Jozadak, which we see there, you see, in Zechariah and Haggai. But Joshua the Beshemite, the owner of this land. Hey, now keep that in mind. Hey, what happened? Verse 19. And God smote the men of Beshemesh because they had looked into the ark. They intruded into a mystery which is not assigned to them. Okay, they intruded into a mystery. The false religious system intrudes into the mysteries of God. Okay, and by doing so, they incur a curse. Okay, they incur a curse. And this is what these people did. Okay, they were intruding into something which did not belong to them. So in the field of Joshua, okay, the field of Joshua the Beshemite was provide, okay, you can say, an environment for a blessing. Okay, and it was a blessing that the ark came there. Okay, but the blessing turned into a curse because of this transgression. So here, God, he smote the men of Beshemesh because he had looked into the ark. This is during the time of harvest, of ingathering. The harvest which was supposed to be taken to the temple, okay, the portion of the harvest would be taken to the temple here. Okay, and this was supposed to be in the environment of the blessing. Okay, turned into a carnival atmosphere. Now you can imagine the false religious system turn that which is sanctified by God into a carnival atmosphere. To every passion of the soul is expressed, but not in faith. So therefore they were smitten before God. God sent a curse, as we see today. Okay, God has sent a curse upon the church, as upon the world. Okay, the church is judged first, then the world is judged. And we can see the judgment that God has set, set forth upon the earth. Because the church wanted to remain independent of stewardship, that God assigned them to war, famine, and pestilence. Okay? When the church turned sour, society, also the corruption of society, begins to increase. Crime continues to increase. Oppression continues to increase. Okay? So this is what happened here. They looked into the ark of the Lord. Even the Lord now smote the people. How many? Well, it was 50,000 here. Okay, 50,000 and 70 men. They look at the number there. Confirm concerning 50 and 70. 50 and 70. So that the token which was to be the token of rest became the token of their judgment. Okay, the number 7 also, the 70. Okay, which also has to do with, like, is concerning the stewardship. Okay, the stewardship of the priesthood was being violated. The ark was there because they violated the stewardship. They violated the priesthood during the days of Eli and Samuel. They violated it. Okay, but now Samuel, the Lord spoke to Samuel in verse 3. And he's saying, if you do return to the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the strange gods. This is why the judgment was on them. And Ashtaroth, remember, they came into a land for the cleansing of it, but the cleansing became corrupt. Okay, from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. That means to be prepare your hearts to the Lord, follow the stewardship, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel saying, by my refuge and stewardship. But let's see what else happens here. And the people lamented, they being torn in their heart, because the Lord had smitten many people with a great slaughter. This is because of their folly and the carnival spirit. And the men, the leaders here, and the men of Bishamish said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? Well, only the person God assigns. Okay, Samuel stood before the Lord. When he says, who shall be able to stand? Which means, who will represent us? Samuel represents you. Okay, the Lord appointed Samuel to represent him. We can see that at the time of transition, that Samuel also brought to the minds of the people, is it not wheat harvest today? Okay, and we said, is it not wheat harvest? God put a sign within that, that now God will bring a blessing because you accept the stewardship. So who is able to stand before this holy Lord God, and to whom shall he go up from us? Okay, and of course, he's talking about Samuel. Let's go back to Ephesians as you get your sacrifices ready here. So we can see what happens when people try to circumvent here, or to go around. When they try to go around stewardship to invent their own stewardship. Okay, they're looking into the ark, without sanctification. They're going to bring upon them the curse of this derision, and a plague from the Lord. That's going to happen if it hasn't happened already to some because of their disobedience. Now let's go on here. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, which means it's something that's not absorbed. Okay, it's something that has to be taught. Okay, now the false religious system says, I'll let Jesus teach me, or Jesus would teach me. No, he won't. What do you think we have the Bible for? Okay, the scriptures were given, but the stewardship has been called. Okay, the Bible isn't called to teach you. The stewardship is called to teach you. Okay, and to make all men see. Okay, to make all men see, what is the fellowship of this mystery? So I had the word mystery there. Okay, which he said, I wrote afore in a few words in verse 3. To make all men see, what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid. So I had the word beginning of the world, which we talked about earlier. Okay, how God created an environment. God created a dimension for himself. God entered into this dimension of himself in order to initiate this plan. The plan was prepared billions of years ago. If you're to mark it by time, it'd be billions of years ago. Okay, our Father was preparing this plan to initiate it in the time frame of his choosing, which was 7. The time frame was 7,000 years. Okay, which number was also put within a stewardship. Okay, it was put within a stewardship that within that period of time, Adamites must observe stewardship, okay, that which I provided for them. Adam had stewardship by God himself. Okay, and Adam was assigned to be a steward of the earth, but he had to follow a superior steward, God himself. And we can see that that pattern, okay, was set from Genesis all the way to Revelation to the very end, now to the new heavens, new earth. Okay, whereas we will carry that tradition of number seven, okay, into other dimensions. Okay, that's why the Lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. This plan of stewardship would be carried forth upon the completion of our redemption. Upon the completion of our redemption, okay, into other dimensions. Okay, which has to do in the chambers of our Father, okay, which has to do with that, which is the spirit of the crystal sea, okay, by which the throne is a point is marking its boundaries. Okay, the boundaries are marked in the courts of heaven. Okay, where we see that with 144,000, and we will be as witnesses, because we shall ever be with the Lamb, okay, that we will be witnesses there, okay, and regarding the transition and the opening of these doors, okay, and the entering into the Father. Okay, it will enter into him through the vortex of his throne, following the Lamb, whether it's wherever he goes. Where he goes, we go. Where the Spirit goes, the wheel goes also, as we see in the book of Ezekiel. Okay, to the intent. Okay, now to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery among the Gentiles, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay, by Jesus Christ, which means he's the pattern setter. The pattern setter. Everything was created by him. That means the letters of his name are put and assigned. You see, every creature, okay, and everything that he created. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. That means his oath preaches to everyone's conscience about his presence. To the intent. This is the purpose and goal. For this purpose, which the angels confirm. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. Now the angels now confirm and give witness to for our faith today, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, okay, that which was hidden in all creation. The mystery which was concealed, okay, in all creation is now revealed through the stewardship. Okay, this is the manifold wisdom of God, okay, that God our Father directed it in this manner. Okay, to be for full disclosure, according to the eternal purpose, verse 11. See the word eternal? Okay, it was in the bosom as a tradition of our Father, okay, and also will continue on with that same traditions, okay, in the baptism of light. That's what we're being prepared for. Okay, we were selected and put within this dimension in the body which our Father designed. Okay, our body, the bodies which we're in were designed by our Father, okay, for the purpose of this expression. Okay, an expression and choices of will. Okay, that our Father provide a pure conscience. The pure conscience to be the eye of the Spirit, okay, for our faith. So that we can walk by faith, not by sight. Not by the sight of the carnal eye, but the sight of the spiritual eye. Okay, which means by this new knowledge. Because it's by this new knowledge that we behold the face of the Lord. So that we continue to walk uprightly and not be as the ignorant beast, but be as the innocent lamb. The Lamb of God, according to the eternal purpose. So hide the word eternal purpose here in verse 11. So God inscribed in all these things. Okay, all these things for us, in us, and for us. This is to read and know him. Because Jesus is the volume of the book. He's the book. Jesus is the book. He's the word of God. He's the book. Okay, that means we are to read him. That's why it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the book which we read. Okay, he's the knowledge which we embrace. He's the charity which we speak, according to the eternal purpose, which he proposed in Christ Jesus Lord. See the word in Christ Jesus, which means this is the divine priesthood, Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, and because he is our altar, all right, that this mystery would be admired in his priesthood, because he's our altar of faith to reciprocate this power, the altar of faith to reciprocate the power. Okay, in him. Okay, is the mystery concealed. Okay, the tokens of the covenant are in him. As the tokens of the covenant were put within the Ark of the Covenant, okay, which has to do with Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of stone, which the steward put within there, tables of commandments, okay, and also the pot of manna, Okay, the panamanum, which will never age, okay, it will never get moldy. It's still there today. Okay, that pot of manna is a witness, okay, how God sustains by his word. Okay, and God also destroys by his word, according to the eternal purpose, which he proposed in Christ Jesus the Lord. This last verse here, in whom we have boldness and access. I like the word access there. Which now in Christ we have confidence because he is our door. We have access into this grace, which of course strengthens us, okay, by the gifts, by his gifts which is provided for us. His record whereby we are saved, his rod and staff comforts us, okay, as we are covered in his light. His rod and his staff comforts us as we are covered in his light, okay, the orb of his light. So we can see that the principalities and powers of the air, not the evil ones, okay, the righteous ones. Okay, but there are two powers of the air, by the way, the heavenly places. Okay, and Satan is about ready to be cast out of his position. Okay, and that's why at that point in time, of course, we'll be in heaven. We will be rejoicing at the time of this cleansing. And we can see that also in the book of Revelation. Okay, when Satan is cast down. Okay, that the righteous will be glorifying the Lord. Now is salvation, okay, provided, okay, through this point of cleansing. Satan had stopped the door, okay, the gate. Okay, and we can see that there's war in the gate in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought. But of course, Michael prevailed, and Satan was cast out into the earth, and that's where he will have to take physical form. Okay, he's going to take physical form to experience the oppressions that he created. He created the oppressions, but now he's going to have to live under those oppressions which he created. And he's only got 3.5 years, okay, for his joy, okay, in regarding trying to prove to the world his worthiness and try to convince the sinners, okay, and regarding his abilities. He's going to try to prove to the world that he's the one that gave all these provisions. He's going to claim that he is the Messiah. Okay, that he's Messiah, that he's that's through him that we have our redemption, which of course is Elias. Blasphemy. Okay, so according to the eternal purpose of Christ now, according to the eternal purpose, okay, which he proposed in Christ Jesus the Lord, this is before the world began. Okay, these were things which he determined, which would unfold at this time, so that we can enter into the experience and we can be the joy of our Father. Okay, that we would be his joy. Okay, having returned to him, okay, with these gifts, okay, for the increase, okay, of his kingdom forever and ever. Okay, amen.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.